It's a tale of two vice presidents, Mike Pence versus Kamala Harris. I'll compare and contrast the two vice presidents today on the program. Also, we got breaking news, and that is the abortion pill is going to be officially available at CVS and Walgreens in the next week. We'll talk about it on the program and the new landscape of the abortion wars. You're listening to Activist Radio on the Mark Harrington Show. And friends, you can pick us up 24/7 on all the popular podcasting platforms, as well as following me on social media. It's been a while since I've done a live program. I've taken a small break, just a little rest and relaxation, but I'm back in the saddle. It's good to be here on the program. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the abortion wars, especially when it comes to the 2024 presidential election. We're also going to bring you up to speed about the abortion pill. There's a lot happening, and friends, you want to stay tuned to the program today, some important information. So let's start out here. As I said, this is a tale of two vice presidents. Just last week, we saw the former vice president, Mike Pence, make comments about the 2024 election and Donald Trump. And we also saw Kamala Harris visit an abortion clinic. So I want to kind of compare those two vice presidents in the position, the respective positions on abortion that both of them take. And so, Mr. Producer, if you would go ahead and cue up. This is Mike Pence. He's on CBS's Meet the Press, I believe. No, it's Face the Nation, where he's interviewed. And here's the thing, and I'll just say up front, Mike Pence has been a huge disappointment post-Trump presidency. It just continues to disappoint. He continues to worsen his position. I don't know what's going on with Mike Pence, honestly. It really is frustrating. But now he's on all the mainstream or liberal media. He's on all the left-wing TV networks and stuff like that. And there's a good reason for that, because that's where he can, he can butter his bread, I guess, for the future and sell books and expand his platform. But anyway, he's been a real disappointment, and he continues to disappoint with this comment. If you would, Mr. Producer, go ahead and play this clip. This is Mike Pence talking about whether he will endorse Donald Trump in November. Go ahead and play the clip.
I mean, the reason that I cannot in good conscience endorse Donald Trump this year also has to do with the fact that he is walking away not just from keeping faith with the Constitution on that day, but also, Margaret, with a commitment to fiscal responsibility, a commitment to the sanctity of life, a commitment to American leadership in the world. I mean, the president's...
Well, listen, I really don't get this about Mike Pence. As vice president of the United States, you recall the final days of the Trump administration, Donald Trump was pushing, saying that the election was stolen, if you remember that. They had that rally on the Mall and then the riot at the Capitol. And all along, I kept wondering, where is Mike Pence? What is Mike Pence thinking? Because it was all going to come down to whether Mike Pence, as the president of the Senate, I think, would either ratify or not ratify the election results. And a lot of people were calling on Mike Pence to just send it back to the state legislatures for review in different states. I honestly thought that was a reasonable request and something that could be done without throwing the country into turmoil. And Mike Pence was silent about it. He didn't come out against Donald Trump during that period of time. He waited until years later to throw him under the bus. And so I wonder if Mike Pence even really objected to what was going on leading up to January 6th. That's number one. Of course, he does now because, he wants to be on the left side of things when it comes to appealing to networks like CNN and MSNBC and CBS and all the rest. At least that's the way I take it. He wants to sell books and all that stuff and stay relevant. That's my take on it. But as far as I could tell, he never really objected to the events leading up to January 6th. Having said that, he makes his case against endorsing Donald Trump based on Donald Trump's pro-life position? Seriously? I mean, Mike Pence holds the exact position of Donald Trump. Mike Pence supports a 15-week federal ban on abortion. Donald Trump is going to come out in the coming days and weeks and support, I think, a 16-week ban on abortion. So what's the difference between Mike Pence and Donald Trump on abortion? Other than Mike Pence, you know, claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, despite the fact that he has utilized reproductive technologies like IVF. So Mike Pence is pro-life, but in some ways, and so is Donald Trump. He says he's walked away from the pro-life position. This is the president that put on three justices to the U.S. Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade. Mike, that's pro-life, friend. The fact that he's a pragmatist on abortion and that he wants to find common ground and make everybody happy doesn't make the pro-lifers happy, but he's pretty much in line with most of all the Congress, including Lindsey Graham and a bunch of others. So I don't know where Mike Pence is getting this about Donald Trump abandoning the pro-life position. This is Donald Trump's position from the start. He says that he's abandoning, or he's not fiscally responsible. Who can name for me one Republican that cares about the budget deficit and our debt? No one does anymore, including Mike Pence. Mike Pence was part of an administration that blew out the debt. So don't tell me this. You know, I'm just really frustrated with Mike Pence right now. So here's what it really amounts to. By Mike Pence saying he's not going to endorse Donald Trump for president, which is his prerogative, I guess, he is signaling to millions of Americans that it's okay to vote for Joe Biden as an alternative. He's not helping things here, friends. He's hurting us and the pro-life movement, because if we don't get Donald Trump in the White House, we're going to see four more years of this abortion extremism up to birth and beyond without him. So, you know, his principles certainly don't line up when it comes to being pro-life if he's not going to support the GOP nominee for president. He has given red meat to the left to say to millions of Americans, well, if the former vice president will not endorse his running mate, the president of the United States, on a third opportunity to run for president, then he's not pro-life. So it's just really frustrating to see how quickly and how easily pro-lifers run from the pro-life issue and those who are, like Donald Trump, the nominee for the Republican Party for president. So really frustrating. And then you juxtapose Mike Pence, former vice president of the United States, and his comments about Donald Trump, that he's not going to endorse him, and therefore put at the pro-life issue, kind of setting it aside for this election and signaling to people that you can vote for Joe Biden. By the way, Mike Pence is not going to vote for Joe Biden. Who cares? What's his vote? Doesn't matter. But the fact that he won't endorse him, at least guys like DeSantis and all the rest of the ones that were running against Trump, the minute they said they were dropping out of the race, they said they were going to support Donald Trump. You got to give him credit for that, because they realize what's at stake here. I don't think Mike Pence does at all. This is just another disappointment. But anyway, I digress. Now we move to the tale of two vice presidents, the former vice president, Mike Pence, versus our current or sitting vice president, Kamala Harris. They're outspoken. They're out in front. They are in your face on abortion. Kamala Harris, the first sitting vice president, visited an abortion mill last week. That's how they see the abortion issue. They are all in when pro-lifers supposedly like Mike Pence aren't. And this is why we continue to lose, friends, and we're going to keep losing, because they are courageous. They are bold. They are bold in their wickedness. So Kamala Harris goes to an abortion mill, and she makes this speech. Go ahead and play this clip. Again, Kamala Harris, who, by the way, is very difficult just to listen to. She's so annoying. The way that she delivers her mannerisms, all that stuff. You can get by that. Just listen to the content. Here she is in front of an abortion mill in Minnesota. Go ahead.
I'm here at this healthcare clinic to uplift the work that is happening in Minnesota as an example of what true leadership looks like. And please do understand that when we talk about a clinic such as this, it is absolutely about healthcare and reproductive healthcare.
She says it's absolutely about healthcare and reproductive healthcare. That is a euphemism for child killing, friends. Anytime you hear those words, think of babies being dismembered, disemboweled, and decapitated. And Mr. Producer, if you would, pop up a picture of an abortion, would you? And I know this is graphic, but friends, we need to understand what we're talking about here. When Kamala Harris says reproductive health care, this is what she means, okay? When she talks about health care for women or treatment, this is what she means, right here. And I wonder, when she visited this Minnesota Planned Parenthood, did she go in the so-called procedure room? Did she watch the baby being dismembered, being reassembled on the table next to the patient, the mom? Did she? Probably not. Why? Because she knows what goes on in that room. She doesn't want to see it like anybody else. Now, it would be something if she actually did go in and talked about it. And be honest, someday we might reach that point with our politics. These folks are so out in the open and bold in their and shouting abortion from the rooftops. It really puts guys like Mike Pence, the Republican Party, as a disgrace. We're supposed to be defending the truth. They're defending evil, and they do it boldly and proudly. All right, finish up. This is Kamala Harris again in front of the Planned Parenthood in Minnesota. First sitting vice president to visit an abortion mill.
So everyone get ready for the language. Uterus.
Uterus.
That part of the body needs a lot of medical care from time to time.
All right, stop there. Now, this is ridiculous, okay? First of all, it's not the uterus that needs the care. Nothing wrong with the uterus. The womb is actually doing what it's supposed to when a woman gets pregnant, right? Houses and nurtures the baby. The baby grows in the uterus and the womb to the point that it's ready to be delivered. The baby's ready to be delivered. That's what the uterus does. So when she's talking about health care for the uterus, that's the natural course of health care. Seeing that baby through the process of development and then delivering the baby alive. What she isn't talking about is the baby. That's what's really at stake here, what's being focused on in an abortion. Not the uterus, but the child. And the child is being ripped to shreds. That's not reproductive health care. That's not reproductive health care. Well, what I wanted to hone in on here, friends, is that there's just a difference between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party when it comes to abortion. Democrat Party are all in, abortion up to birth. They'll go to an abortion mill, tout, shout, exclaim from the rooftops the benefits of killing children, where we have guys like Mike Pence, who supposedly is hugely pro-life. The pro-life movement puts up on a pedestal and invites to their galas and speaks at their conferences and all this stuff, who has all the right rhetoric. When it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, and they need to support the nominee for president of the United States in order to prevent more babies from being killed, what do? They cower. They cower because they're thinking about themselves, unfortunately. And that's what we have in our politics today. All right, so let's move on. I want to play to finish up this segment. I want to share a piece by Donald Trump. Now, let me just preface it by saying this. I've said this before. A lot of people get upset with Donald Trump because he's not pro-life enough. I don't like his position all the time on abortion. He's not an ideologue, like supposedly Mike Pence is supposed to be, right? Pro-life Christian, talks about his faith all the time, talks about the sanctity of your life, always invited to the galas and the banquets and the celebrations and invited to speak all over the world and nation, right? Donald Trump's not pro-life in his ideology. He's pro-life because it's a pragmatic decision for him, just like every other thing. That's who he is, whether you like it or not. That's who he is. And he's trying to figure out a way to move the needle a little bit in his way of thinking and still get elected. And he's looking at elections and saying the Republican Party's getting hammered on abortion. Well, you might disagree with him on that, but we're 0-7 on constitutional amendments, and Republicans who are pro-life outspokenly are being defeated. Not all of them, but many of them are. And so you can take whatever conclusion you want from that, but Donald Trump's come to the conclusion that the abortion issue, the pro-life issue for Republicans is not a winner right now in a post-Roe America. Disagree with him if you like, but this is the way the guy is. He wants to get elected. That's all it is about. So what he's trying to come up with is this middle ground, and he says that he's going to introduce some type of ban on abortion in the coming weeks. So go ahead and play this clip.
You have to go with the exceptions, and the number of weeks I'll be coming out with a recommendation fairly soon. I think the recommendation will be accepted.
All right, you can stop there. So Donald Trump, historically, when he converted to being pro-life, has always been for exceptions, right? Exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. Now, of course, no baby's an exception. We understand that. But he's done that because those laws are the ones that get passed. Those laws, if you support them, tend to also be considered reasonable and common ground amongst a lot of people. And that's why he takes that position. Again, he's not an ideologue. You may not like that, but that's just his position. I can tell you, in some of these states like Ohio, if we had a rape or incest exception in the heartbeat law, it might have gained us a few points. I'm not saying I support that. I don't. But the other side used that very effectively to peel off people who are, say, in the middle on abortion. But having said that, he goes on to talk about he's going to present or propose a ban on abortion. And what we're hearing through the grapevine is that it's going to be at 16 weeks. It's just kind of an arbitrary thing. He basically said it's a round number. It's 4 months. It just shows you where he's at. Now, you may not like that, but, you know, that's a 15-week, 16-week ban is where a lot of Americans would land. They'd say, well, that's where a baby can feel pain. There's more support for that than there is a ban at 6 weeks or heartbeat. So that's why Trump's going to propose it. And you may not like that, but that's just where he's at. I submit to you, and this is going to be hard for you guys to really believe when I say this, but any ban on a federal ban on abortion right now, whether it's 16 or 15 weeks, does not help us in the presidential election. It just doesn't, especially in this atmosphere of post-Roe and the other side demonizing Republicans as trying to ban all abortions and send women to prison. Politically speaking, any bans on abortion, whether it's 15 weeks, 16 weeks, 6 weeks, doesn't matter, 20 weeks, it doesn't play well. I'm sorry. You may not like my position on that. That's just the politics of it all. I support bans on abortion. I just don't think this is wisdom. I don't think it saves many lives. It might save some. A federal ban on abortion at 16 weeks or 15 weeks is only going to be a cap on states like New York, California, Vermont, all the liberal states, Illinois. That's all it's going to do. And that may reduce the abortion rate in those states to certain levels. Of course, women can just go over state lines and get them somewhere else. But that's where Trump's going to land. And it's not going to make anybody happy. Won't make me happy. Won't make pro-lifers happy. Won't make the pro-abortion people happy. But that's what Donald Trump does. He's trying to say, I'm trying to make everybody happy. Well, he's just a deal maker. He's trying to cut a deal with both sides. And that's his position. Whether you like it or not. The bottom line is you got to get behind the GOP nominee for president. Mike Pence should. Doesn't sound like he's gonna because of whatever reasons he's conjured up. I think his feelings are hurt or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of the situation we find ourselves in with the presidential election, with this now that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the nominees for both parties. All right, let's switch gears here. Breaking news coming out in the last couple of days, and that is that CVS and Walgreens, the two largest, pharmacies and pharmacy chains in the United States, are going to now offer the abortion pill. So if you would, Mr. Producer, cue up this clip. This is from CBS Evening News talking about how these pharmacy chains are going to begin to sell the abortion pill.
Tonight, a historic decision by major pharmacy chains, Walgreens and CVS, to begin dispensing mifepristone. The pill is used for more than half of abortions in the U.S. and to manage miscarriages.
It's absolutely a game changer. This type of dispensing is going to be huge for patients who struggle to travel. We're going to see much better health outcomes.
All right. First of all, it says that the abortion pill comprises 50%, around 50% of all the abortions. Well, that has all changed in the last couple of days. The Alan Guttmacher Institute, which used to be the research arm for Planned Parenthood, now just a pro-abortion organization that does polling and so forth and keeps statistics on abortion, has come out with the findings that 63%, not 53, 63% of abortions are now committed using the abortion pill. So that's number one. Number two, she talks about that this is a game changer and it's going to increase health outcomes. Health outcomes. Again, what kind of health outcomes? Is this going to be better for women? Number one, I don't think so. Instead of going in an abortion clinic to have your abortion done by a so-called doctor, an OBGYN generally, in a facility, whether you like them or not, that is prepared for any kind of complications, generally. Now they're going to be, women are going to be having, at increasing numbers, they're going to be committing their abortion in their house, in their bathroom, and flushing the baby down the toilet. Now, how is that a good health outcome for women? I submit to you, it's not about that. They don't care about women. They care about abortion. They want more abortions. That's number one. Number two, that what about the health outcome for the baby? Mr. Producer, go ahead and pop up that picture again of the abortion. This is the health outcome for the baby, friends. When you hear about reproductive health, think about this. What about that? That's not a very good health outcome for that child. Think about that when you hear those words. All right, go ahead and continue on with this clip. This is, again, CVS and Walgreens announcing that they are going to be selling at their pharmacies the abortion pill.
Health outcomes.
In a statement, Walgreens says it expects to begin dispensing within a week in select locations to ensure quality, safety, and privacy. CVS says it will begin filling prescriptions in states where legally permissible in the weeks ahead.
So here's the bottom line. This is a slippery slope. With the Biden administration, they loosened all these FDA requirements regarding the abortion pill. They made it easier to access. Without the notification, without the consultation of a physician, meaning the abortionist generally, they went to Zoom during the pandemic, and then they got rid of those restrictions. Now women can basically go into their get a prescription, probably just by phoning in, or maybe they meet with a doctor or whomever. Just go to the pharmacy and get that filled and take it home, kill their baby, and flush it down the toilet. So now, 63%, according to Alan Guttmacher Institute, of all abortions are committed in the homes of American moms and women, parents. More than 6 out of 10. And I submit to you that number is going to continue and increase. We may get up to 80, 85, even 90% eventually of all abortions are going to be done at home. So what we've done in America, we've converted the brick and mortar abortion mills where abortionists will perform a surgical abortion on a woman. We've converted homes to those. In other words, the homes of American women and moms are now the abortion clinics. And the abortionist is CVS and Walmart and Walgreens, probably Walmart and Walgreens. They're now the abortionist. That's what we've done. So what are we going to do about this? We're really facing a big challenge when it comes to the abortion pill. And so I've got some recommendations on that. First of all, go ahead, Mr. Producer, pull up that sign. Yeah, this is one of the signs we use out on college campuses. And we are currently in the midst of trying to come up with some new designs to address this, because as the landscape on abortion continues to change, as more and more mothers, women, are killing their babies using the abortion pill regimen, mifepristone, in doing that, we've got to be able to address it on a college campus. And up until this point, we've been using pictures of surgical abortion, which are readily available. We have hundreds of them. But we don't really have good images, photos, pictures, video of pill abortions. So obviously, we got to come up with those. And to me, it won't be very difficult, because they're going to be American women who kill their babies in their homes, who take a picture of it and put it online and say, this is my abortion. So it shouldn't be hard to find. Those are going to be coming, I'm sure, in online very readily. So it won't be hard to find those, and we can put them into signs of what. But this is one sign that I think is extremely effective. And what it does is it shows the truth about abortion. By the way, this was a thumbnail, a still shot of a scene, a part of the scene that was in Unplanned. That's Abby Johnson's movie about abortion, about her story. This is a hugely effective sign because it shows the reality. That is, the woman's cramping, having complications to her abortion. She killed her baby, flushed it down the toilet, and this is how it. She kills the baby alone and deals with it that way. So this is the reality of what's going on. So friends, you know, we've got to be really watching closely what's happening with the pill abortion issue. And we got to be able to address it, because that is the new frontier for the abortion industry. Okay, friends, here's your call to action today from your radio activists. And that is number one. Next week on March 26th, the United States Supreme Court is going to hear the abortion pill case, which is going to be a huge case, going to set a lot of things in place as we continue to battle this issue of abortion, but specifically the do-it-yourself, at-home abortion using mifepristone, the now prescribed abortion pill at CVS and Walgreens. So that's going to happen on March 26, U.S. Supreme Court, 9 a.m. We'll be reporting on that. Of course, we won't know the outcome until June. But in concert with that, our good friends at the Pro-Life Action League, if you would, Mr. Producer, go ahead and pop that. Oh, okay, you got it up there. Are going to have a simultaneous protest of CVS and Walgreens across the nation. They're going to hold it at their headquarters in Illinois and New Hampshire and also around the country. So we are calling on pro-life activists around the country to take signs like the ones you see on the website at Pro-Life Action League to CVS and to Walgreens, whether they're dispensing the abortion pill or not, because not all of them are currently. They probably all will eventually. And we're trying to grab some attention, if you will, or media coverage on the U.S. Supreme Court hearing the abortion pill case. And so we want to get our message out. So we're going to be going to CVS and Walgreens. And friends, if you want to get involved with this, you just go to Pro-Life Action League's website at prolifeaction.org. ProLifeAction.org, and there is a way to get involved in this protest at Walgreens and CVS. Also, we've got the Day of Action coming up in the next week. Our first Day of Action will be here in Columbus on March 28th. Now, what we're doing here is, rather than having one Day of Action in the summer, we're now kind of spreading this out over the state of Ohio. We're having four regional Day of Action events. And so we're coming into those communities rather than asking those people in those communities to come to us. So we're going to Toledo, we're going to Cleveland, we're going to Cincinnati and Columbus in the next month to hold what we call a Day of Action. And what it is basically this: one evening of classroom training, which includes pro-life apologetics. We call it Let's Talk Abortion. And then a short period of time where we'll talk about how to be an effective sidewalk counselor. So that's the night before. And then the day after, the next day, that is, starting at 9 a.m., we take people out to either a local abortion mill so they can sidewalk counsel, or to their local university college or community college. And so that's the Day of Action. If you live in Ohio or anywhere in the United States, you want to be part of this, you can simply go to createdequal.org and you can sign up for the Day of Action. It's free, no charge for the apologetics training and sidewalk counseling training and the outreach the next day, because this is how it works, friends. Classroom training's great. Head knowledge is important. Believe me, we got to know the facts. We got to know the statistics, the logic, the philosophy, all the legal art, all that stuff we got to know. But it ain't good unless you use it. And so we teach people on all that stuff, and then we take them out and we put them in front of people that are going to disagree with them. That's how we learn. And so that's why we do the Day of Action. That's why we do what we do at Created Equal. We are an activist organization who brings together strong apologetics training with bold outreach events like this. So if you want to be part of the Day of Action, go to createdequal.org, sign up. It's free, no charge to you. We're looking forward to putting you into the game in the abortion wars. So that's all I got for you today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to make a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice, go to createdequal.org. To follow Mark, go to markharringtonshow.com. Be sure to tune in next time for your marching orders in the culture war.